I'm talking today on the subject or the topic which says the heart or a heart. Oh, that's we're going to see later. Sorry, we're going to give those slide later. I'm talking, as I say, about the topic which says a heart that partners, in the gospel harvest. That's the topic that I'm speaking about. Quite a little bit very complicated, tough to understand, but I'm trying to explain so that you can understand what exactly the message is about. In Luke chapter, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, that's where we're going to read. And it's a very good passage which you're going to understand, and I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to us all. But before we read that passage, I wanted us to explain the topic, a heart that patterns in the gospel harvest. What does that mean? Having a heart that patterns, that collaborate, that participate, that partake in the gospel harvest. What does that mean? I want to believe, and I believe this is true for all of us, the difference between each of us here, sitting here, you and I, on the right, on the left, behind, front, is our heart. That's the difference that makes between us, our heart. And when we come to God, give our life to Jesus, that is because our heart was touched and we accepted to embrace change. So heart is a very important thing before God. That's what the Bible says. My son, give me your heart. So when we talk about the subject or the topic, a heart that patterns in the gospel harvest, this word heart refers to our inner desires, motivation, passion, commitment. And partners, it's a sharing together in a common purpose. And gospel, as we know, gospel harvest refers to men and women or people who hears the gospel and they respond to the gospel. They've been brought into God's kingdom through faith in Jesus after hearing, listening to the word of God. Like you and I, we heard the word of God. Now, a heart that partners in the gospel harvest is a heart that shares God's burden to lost, for the lost soul, and actively participate in the work, bringing people to Christ through prayer and many other means. This title or this topic, a heart that partners in the gospel harvest, in one word, it's having God's concern for the lost souls, sharing God's passion for evangelism, being committed to the Great Commission, supporting the work of reaching people with the message of Jesus. And above all, this is the mandate that all of us, you and I, as children of God, we've been given. The question comes here is, what does it mean for a believer's heart to partner in the gospel harvest? Or we can say, how can Christians participate in the gospel harvest even if they are not missionaries or pastors? The other question is, what are the biblical ways believers can become partners in God's harvest? Now, if Jesus looked at our heart, my heart, your heart today, would he find in us a genuine desire to partner in his harvest, in the work that he has given us? Now, when we go to the passage where we want to read in Luke chapter 10, the Bible says here, and I read, Just a second, sorry. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10 from verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Verse 2. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is plentiful or is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I thought to back up this passage with 3 John, verse 5 to 8. And this is what it says. 3 John, verse 5 to 8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we brethren ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Amen. So, where we read here in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus Christ talk to his disciples, and if you connect it to the book of the Gospel of Matthew, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he was in his ministry during his time, he saw crowd, he saw big number of people, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then he goes down and says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So this is where we bring our topic. Jesus is calling his disciples to pray, asking them to pray, because the laborers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. He saw a world full of people who needed salvation, like today. The world needs salvation, right and left, north and south, everywhere, whether in Africa, whether in Canada, whether in South America. There is need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people would come to know God. So he saw people in need of salvation, and he compared them to a ripe field ready for harvest. And that call is even for us today. But for that call to be fulfilled, Jesus said that the disciples were to do something. And number one here, we find he is asking to the disciple to pray. To pray. Say, pray to the Father that he sent laborers because there are few on the field. So first thing here, for you and I to pray for the world to be saved, for you and I to pray for God to raise the soldier, the laborers, for you and I to pray so that God will move in Canada, will move in South America, for you and I to pray for that God will touch the world, the condition of our heart must be changed. Number one, we gotta have the heart that shares God's compassion for the lost. Do we have that heart? Do you feel that heart in your heart? To have the compassion for the lost souls. To feel inside of you that, oh, people are getting lost. No, no good, no good. God help. God have mercy. For you to see that mandate serious, the condition of the heart must be transformed. So here we find number one, for us to partner in the gospel harvest, we have to have the heart that shares God's compassion for the lost. Remember, before Jesus spoke about the harvest, he looked upon the people with compassion. And a heart that partners in the gospel harvest does not look down on sinners, it carries for them. It's not our role to look down on sinners, to speak against them, to, you know, despise them or to run away from them, but we are called to love them. We are called to love so that we can share the love of God, so that we can have compassion and go and take the gospel to them. So our hearts, if it comes to the position that we can see people the way Jesus see them, we will see that there are souls which need salvation. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we cannot effectively reach to people unless we have genuinely the care about them. We cannot. I will always remember that, and I will not forget it. When I was in Uganda, a lady came by the door, knocked the door. That was before we came here, before we moved to Canada. We were in the refugee camp, and then they called us to Canada for the process, or they call it check medical thing like that. The lady knocked the door. And then I opened the door. My wife and I, we stood, and the lady said, "Hey, Pastor, what is the time?" I told her, "It is time for salvation." She said, "Wow." She left. The following day, she came and said, "Guess what? I've come back. Since you told me about salvation, my heart, I'm wrestling with this idea. I need to know Jesus." And long story short, she gave her life to Jesus. She's now in America. She gave her life to Jesus. We are not called to despise the lost people. We are not called to despise the world because of their condition. Instead, we are calling to love them, so that we can have that compassion to share Jesus, to share the love of God to them. So Jesus said, pray that the Father would send the laborers. So before you go, pray. Before you go, pray. Before you send, pray. So we find here, number one, the heart that is the heart to share God's compassion with Jesus is important. To feel the same burden that Jesus felt, that people are getting lost, that people are getting lost. Now my question is, where we are in our neighborhood, in our place, in our area, in our workplace, in our school, what do we see? Do we see people? Do we see them in need of salvation? Yes. Then we need to feel that heart of compassion before even we share the love of God and share the gospel to them. Second of all, there is a need of a heart that prays for the harvest. Jesus said, ask to the Father so he may send the laborers to send the laborers to the harvest. There is a need to have the heart for prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest ways believers, you and I, participate in gospel ministry. To pray that God will visit, that God will touch people, that God will move, that God will convince their heart, that God will show them their condition, that God will, because only God can do that. Only God can do that. Even though you preach and preach and preach until the Holy Spirit convinces someone that this is a wrong way, I'm telling you, people cannot be changed. When I was born in the family which was a Christian family, and I was going to church every Sunday, but I was not saved. No. I ended up having the second wife, I wanted to take the third wife, and so I was going to church. Until God moves and touches someone's heart and convinces someone about his condition or her condition. No, people don't get saved easily. My wife was praying. Eva was praying, praying, praying. One day I came, I found her kneeling down, talking to God about my name. I said, "You're going to finish praying." She finished praying. I said, hey, do you need peace with me? Please, my name out of your mouth. She said, no. She said, no, I don't want you to talk. But she kept praying, praying until one day. God convinced me and I got saved. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. So, church, Jesus said for people to get saved, there must be some people somewhere praying. Pray that God would send, and that when he sent, the field is prepared. And the field is prepared, which means the soul, the heart are ready to receive the word of God, the seed of the word of God. Prayer is one of the greatest ways believers participate in gospel ministry. Through prayer, what do? We ask God to save souls. We ask God to strengthen the laborers, the missionaries, and open doors for evangelism. Prayer connects our hearts to God's mission. We are grateful for Mountain View because here we love to see God moving. We love to see God changing lives. So Jesus said, pray that the Father will send the laborer. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. You may have, even in your family, a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter, an uncle, or who is not saved yet. And whatever you tell about God, they don't want to hear. But pray. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep and keep praying. I'm telling you, one day, the Lord will move and convince and change lives. So the second thing we find here, the heart which is needed is a heart that prays for the harvest. Don't give up praying for those who are lost. Keep praying for them. Number three, there is a need of a heart that also gives to advance the gospel. Here we find Jesus asking the disciples to pray for the laborers. But for the laborers to go, there must be someone sending. There must be a need met. There must be all the parameters coming together so that someone can go. Not everyone is called to travel to distant mission field, but every believer can help support those who do. That's why Paul was writing to the church of Philippians. He said, now you Philippians know all that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So he encouraged and said, oh yeah, you did a good job by supporting me. So churches that supported Paul's ministry became partners in the spreading of the gospel. When we give to the work of God, when we give to the ministry, when we support the local church, what are we doing? We become partners in the harvest. We are doing good because we are sharing the same. We are partaking in the same great commission, which is the mandate that God has given us. And number four, that is the heart that invests in disciple making. When Jesus said, call to the Father, that he may send the laborers, there is a need here of the heart that invests in disciple making. Let me paraphrase this. Jesus, in his ministry, during 3 years when he was on the earth doing the work of God, here and there, moving and preaching, he did not intend to make of his disciple Christian or mere Christian. Christian is the name that they gave to the disciple because they saw them behaving like Jesus. They called them Christian. But the motive, the main thing that Jesus wanted is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye to the world, make all nations what? Disciples. So Jesus, our Lord Jesus, intended to see we believers cross from that level of being Christian, or cross that level of being attendant of the church, but becoming the disciples of Jesus. And what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who's following Jesus. You are following his steps. A disciple of Jesus. So when he say, pray that the Lord, that the Father will send the laborers, here there is a need of a heart that invests in disciple making. And I thank you, Mountain View, because when you send us to Uganda, what we do discipleship training. We are helping the churches to to become disciples. We are helping the church leaders to become disciples and to follow that mandate of making disciples who make more disciples. The Great Commission is not only making converts, but also making disciples. One would ask, am I a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Yes, if you remember what Jesus said, he said, he who wanna follow me, he has to deny of himself, take the cross and follow me. So it's important we sometimes ask ourselves, am I a disciple of Jesus? And when we are disciple of Jesus, then we have that heart to make others become disciples. Church, when you read the gospel of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you get a chance, try to follow his teaching. Try to take time and dive deep and even digest the teaching. And once you know you are the child of God, and once you want to follow, you apply what he said and put in practice, you see Christianity is so good. It's complicated on the worldview, but it's good for, it gives you peace of mind. Yourself, it gives you peace of mind. I have a friend of mine who, before he got saved, he could not forgive. Definitely not, could not. Absolutely zero. Zero, nada, could not forgive. No. You mess up with him, finish. You're going to fight anywhere you meet. But once he received Jesus, he changed. He found himself totally different. And he's even testifying that, I don't know. How can a Christian become a Christian and not to forgive? Then they ask him, how do you say it? They say, well, the Lord Jesus said, forgive your brother seven times. So it's unlimitedly. So Jesus attend us children, his children, his disciples, to follow his word, to follow what he taught us, to put in practice what he taught us. It's sad sometimes we are believers, we come to church, we are wrestling hard to practice, to put in practice what the word of God, what Jesus told us. But here there is a need of a heart that invests in disciple making. And you cannot do a disciple making if yourself you're not a disciple. So you gotta be a disciple of Jesus to do the disciple making. A true gospel partner helps believers to grow in faith and obedience to Christ. You and I, all of us, we are called to partner in the same harvest in different capacities and areas. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, Paul says, I planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. So what do we find here? We find there is a different level, different areas, and we are called to everyone do his part or her part. I put here as an illustration. Imagine a farmer preparing for harvest. Some plant seeds, some water, some removing weeds, and some gather the crops. Every worker contribute to their final harvest. And the same way in God's kingdom, some pray, some give, some preach, some encourage, some disciple, but all partners in the same harvest. A heart that partners in the gospel harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is ready, is great, is plentiful. Ask to the Father so he may send the laborers to the harvest. That's why in 3 John verse 5 and 8, you find the story of Gaius, it's a hard name to pronounce, especially when you come from Congo. Gaius. So here, Gaius is recommended. Why? Because of his character, because of his behavior, because of his generosity, because of his willingness to stand for the gospel. The Bible says even he stood to support the work of God, even to the strangers, people he did not know. Then he's recommended, say, he was a good brother who's recommended in the Bible. And I pray for you that we also would follow the same example as we embrace the heart that partners in the gospel harvest. The heart that partners in the gospel harvest is a heart that beats with the concerns of Christ. It cares about the lost soul, prays faithfully, gives witness boldly, and helps make disciples. It's a heart that understands that the greatest business on earth is the salvation of souls and the glory of God among all nations. Brothers, sisters, when God's passion for the lost becomes our passion, my passion, your passion, we become true partners in the gospel harvest. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they hear without a preacher? There is a need for the word of God to be preached everywhere. And I thank you, Mountain View. I don't know how to say it, to stress it. Whenever you support the work of God, when we go to Africa, by God's grace, we had a chance to use that time, to use the maximum way, the time properly, so that we can reach out to many people, and many people gave their life to Jesus. So there is a call for us, for you and I, to check, number one, am I a disciple of Jesus? Because I may preach this until tomorrow, but if you are not a disciple of Jesus, you may not understand this. The important point here, for you to partake, to be part of the gospel harvest, it's to accept to be a disciple of Jesus. How do you do it? By repenting from your sin and accepting Jesus to be a Savior and Lord of your life, and now to accepting him to lead you. And once you're a disciple of Jesus, you see God's business becoming your business, God's work becoming your work, and the Great Commission becoming the important thing in your life. I want to invite you and I to follow this slide. It's also one way of giving a brief report on the mission work that I had in Uganda, and then we're going to pray after that. So please, if possible. Yeah, so for those who may be the first time to hear about me or to see me, maybe visiting the church, I do go to Uganda and mainly in a refugee camp called Chaka. Why? Because I was in the refugee camp for 5 years before I came to Uganda. We fled because of the war from Congo to Uganda in the different refugee camp called Changwali. And this one, wherever I go, I always go to the place called Chaka, which is the vast, biggest refugee camp in Uganda. So I go there, and Chaka too is the Chegegwa district, southwest Uganda, which hosts a population of 134,000 refugees who are primarily from the Democratic Republic of Congo, over 110,000. There are people from Burundi, there are people from Rwanda, there are people from Sudan, and also Ethiopia and Somalia. So you can see that is Chaka. I'm standing there, and that's where I go whenever I go for the mission work. The second slide, I'm going to go quickly because of time. I am a missionary associate with the denomination called Evangelical Free Church of Canada. And so keep going, please. So whenever we go there, we give food to the we feed people, we give them food. Why? Because there is not enough. So the support that we are receiving was taken away. So we give what we have, and any donation you give, we buy food, we give to them. Keep going, please, because of the time. And also you send us with the clothes that we bring to the orphans, so you can see people half naked, and then when they receive clothes, they are grateful. Keep going, please, because of time. Yeah. Keep going. Yes, keep going, please. Yeah, so also the mission that we do in Uganda consists also of reaching out to Muslim community, thank be to God, because the door has been opened. Time and time again, we had a chance to reach out to the Muslim through radio and also at the school. We go to their school, we preach the gospel. And also we have teaching sound biblical doctrine to the churches. We help the church to come to the truth. Why? Let me explain just for 1 second. In Africa, there is a strong movement called prosperity gospel, which is sweeping the continent. So people are doing transactional gospel. They are not preaching about Jesus. That give and then you'll be this. Give and you'll be saved. Give and you'll be... And we tell them, guys, Jesus sent us to do what he wants us to do and to preach the gospel of Jesus. So we go to the church, we do the conferences, we bring people from different places, and we bring people back to the foundation, to the truth of the word of God. Keep going. And also, by God's grace, we go to schools to lay a good foundation to the schools by teaching the gospel to young people, and you can see how much people are receptive. We had a chance also to reach out to the majority, big number of population of Uganda through media. You can see 4 different media here. That one up, it's called Shiloh TV, and this one is called BTV, Bible TV. And this one is called Salt TV. And those are very big TV in Uganda where we get a chance to reach out and tell people about the true gospel of Jesus. Keep going. And also we visit family. We help family with counseling and also help those refugees who have some issues, family issues. We help them and also give clothes. Keep going. Heartbreaking time now. Here you see that small... soccer ball which is taken. You don't want to see that. I think people come from Africa, they will remember. This is a terrible thing. They take anything, they put together, and they make it like a soccer, and it can be hurtful. It can hurt your feet. So when I reach there, I talk to the young people in the community, and we pray, and then they say, we're going to have to help you. The second one. Now you can see they go the second one. We have a clip that we had, but the technical issue could not open it. You could see how they are happy to see the soccer ball. Keep going, please. All right. If you think Sammy cannot play soccer, then think again. Keep going, please. Yeah, we also help the church leaders who are planted church by helping them with the bicycles to help them for the transportation means, because people walk from this distance to another one. So that's what we also help. And we aim to help many pastors in the remote areas. And you can see the young man here, this pastor, very happy. He said, I'm good to go now. Keep going. And that is the school where we went to preach. Keep going. And you see this pastor, he's called a reverend pastor. He's a superintendent. He's a big man. He confessed, he repented from being a false teacher, a false prophet, and he has under him many pastors. Now, when one is transformed, the entire group is transformed. So we are happy that God is changing many pastors. Keep going. We also had a chance to give Bible to the lead church leaders, and that was a Bible in English, so that was good. Keep going. Yeah, you can see many people received the Bible. They were happy. Going, please. Yeah, keep going. And we thank God, many people who received Jesus, they've made it right to be baptized, and others are still being following the teaching for baptism. Yeah. And this is a literacy program, fighting illiteracy by supporting the teaching. So people, women, boys, girls, adult people who you see there, they've never been to school from young age because of many reasons, background and culture. Now they have chance to study their Bible in their language because they are learning to read and write, and they can be able to read the Bible. Keep going. We met also, we are not supporting yet this mission. That's not We haven't supported them. We met them. This is a lady, which is Leah, on the left. She's helping to train those Christian young people to the sewing. And then the struggle that they have, they're working under the company which is led by a Muslim fellow. Then he tell them, unless you become a Muslim, you are not going to be staying here. Then he said, we're going to pray God to make a way. Yeah. So after I present the mission work, sometimes people say, how can we come in? How can we help? Then I try my best. I'm sorry to do this, but I thought it's the best way to give a chance to see anyone who wanna do anything. So how can you be part of it? Number one, pray. Number two, sponsor a bicycle for a pastor. Number three, donate a sewing machine, keep going. Number four, support a community meal project. The meal project is a machine where they can put the corn and maize to make it good so they can eat good food. They call it fufu in Africa. Number five, provide Bible. Go back. Provide Bible for students. We have a student who need Bible, and we need at least 500 Bibles to give. And help pastors. We have a pastor called Pastor Carl Bryan who has his church demolished. They demolished because they said they don't want him in the area because he is preaching about Jesus. So he's also in need. And support missionary trip, that's what I always spend whenever I go, 7,000 to 8,000. And donate, use clothing, device, laptop to help those who are in the refugee camp. Keep going. Number nine, support our literacy program office. Number 10, support a child, help provide school fees, basic medical care, and so on. So this is in brief how you can come in if you want, if you're willing, and then how do you do it? Where do you send it? Keep going. You don't give cash to me. You give to either here at the church. See Pastor Vicky will give you more details. Or there is a bar to scan here that can go directly to the denomination, which is evangelical free. Or you can send your donation by e-transfer to that email. I think this is all about the clip. So let us pray for this message. And thank you for supporting the work of God. Thank you for being there always when we go to the work of God. You support us, you pray, and God is doing a lot because of what you are doing. May God help us to not to grow weary, not to give up. The need is great. There's a lot of need, and you're doing good, and we are all ready to say, Lord, use us, because this is our time. This is our season to serve God. I'm sorry. I want to apologize before even I pray. I wept in the morning here before preaching. I lost many people in my country, Congo, because of COVID. Even yesterday, I could not come to preach because as I'm talking now, there's still people, there's corpses of the body dead, which are there. They are waiting for funeral, for the burial. So keep praying for Congo. Congo is going through a lot, especially east side of Congo. It's called Ituri. If you go to Google, you put Ituri Ebola, you'll just find it. It's no good. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the strengths. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for strengthening me to speak your word. And Lord, I thank you that your people have received your word. Help us, Lord, to not be the listeners, but the doers. We would like to continue to serve you when we are still alive, because the Bible says we are to serve you when it's still day. When the night comes, no one will do nothing. So help us, Lord. Bless your word and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.